Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to Stelis Medicare Limited Q3 and 9M FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Sachin Patel, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer of Stelis Medicare Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Dr. Patel.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call to discuss the third quarter and nine-month business and financial performance of Stelis Medicare. I would like to start from where I left last time. The company continues its strategic focus on hospital business. In this regard, we have started a new division in intensive care in the previous quarter. This division will be fully operational by March, latest 2023. We have already started recruiting a team consisting of personnel with significant experience, prior experience in this area. However, overall, the hospital business will be in line with last year's business. This is to be seen in light of the fact that last year we had about 65 crores of hospital business, which was COVID-related, which essentially consisted of one-time orders in this segment. Now, onto the API segment, we have witnessed certain challenges during the third quarter. There was significant increase in the input cost for one of our key APIs during this period. The high cost has significantly impacted on gross margins. This would have, in turn, led to substantial erosion of profitability. Hence, we took a strategic and conscious decision of reducing production of this API, and we manufactured it only to meet our contractual commitments. This also led to higher material costs in the quarter that just passed by. Of course, process improvements have always been an endeavor for us so that we can achieve better efficiencies. Moving on this path, we have already devised an alternative route for manufacturing the products we just discussed. The production by this route would start by the end of fourth quarter or early next financial year at the latest. Further, currently we have three additional APIs in validation, which are expected to go into commercial production by Q2, Q3 of the next fiscal. We also have a strong R&D pipeline to follow this. Based on this, we are confident to take two exhibit batches per quarter from Q1 of the next fiscal. Ideally, it takes us about 6 months for an exhibit batch or validation batch to reach a commercial launch in the domestic and ROW markets. Now turning to our financial performance for Q3 FY23. We reported about 89 crores in revenues during the quarter, a decline of 6.47% year-on-year. This decline in revenue is on account of reasons explained earlier. Our EBITDA for the quarter stands at 15.27 crores with an EBITDA margin of 17.2%. PAT for the quarter stood at 13.31 crores as against 12.46 crores in the third quarter of the previous year, a growth of 6.86% year-on-year. The net profit margin stood at 14.99% and the EPS for this quarter is 14.47. Now for the 9 months, we reported 274 crores in revenues as against 314 crores in the 9 months of the previous year. Our EBITDA for the period stood at 56.97 crores with EBITDA margins at 20.78%. PAT for these 9 months is 48.5 crores and the net profit margin stands at 17.68%. The EPS for the period is 52.71. This is all from my side. I would now like to open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may press star and one to ask a question. We have the first question from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you very much for this opportunity. Sir, just wanted to understand that we have mentioned in our presentation that we are expecting for 35% CAGR on revenue for the next 3 years, which translates into 1,000 crore top line in the next 3 years. But sir, this year at best, if we are fortunate, we will be able to meet last year's revenue of 400 crores. So in that case, sir, you think that it's a realistic enough target that we'll be able to reach 1,000 crore top line over the next 3 years?
Yeah, Keshav, I think at the start of this year and even during the previous calls, we had mentioned that this year we will have an increase in the standalone business that we have, but we had to take into account the close to 65 crores worth of COVID-related revenues that we had last year. Nevertheless, we hope to achieve numbers which are close to last year's numbers that we had. Now, going ahead, we are very much still counting on the fact that we will have a CAGR revenue growth of 35%, for which we have some plans in place. Some of it will be organic, some of it will be inorganic in nature, but both combined together, we most definitely are still looking at a CAGR growth on a consolidated basis of 35%.
Great, sir. Sir, that's very reassuring. And sir, also wanted to touch upon that, sir, our associate, which we control, GTBL, sir, over there last quarter, there was a proposal to acquire some stake at around 750 rupees, which we chose not to proceed further. Sir, but now with the significant fall in the price of the stock of GTBL, so as the price keeps on reducing, the attractiveness keeps on increasing, so does it make sense now to proceed with the same to increase our stake in that promising company?
We have not looked into that particular scenario right now, and in the near future we have no intentions of doing the same. I think you were present in the GTVL call also, so you have a fair bit of clarity in terms of what our opinion on GTVL as a company also is. But at this particular time, there is no intention of acquiring that 7-point-odd% sale share of GTBL.
Right, sir. And sir, lastly, sir, there was a question raised in GTBL call whether the API business, we are also hiving off our API business in a separate subsidiary, whereas GTBL is also venturing into APIs. So is it a complementary business across both, or is it totally independent? Also, how should it be looked at?
So, predominantly, GTBL is a fermentation company, as you know, again, since you were in that particular presentation and you know have a fair bit of idea on GTBL. And in Themis Medicare, we have an API business, and in principle, our thought process remains pretty much the same, that API businesses are significantly capital required oriented, which means that we will have to put in significant capex for the API business to grow in the future, which is not the case with a finished dosage form business, especially looking at our vision over here, which is hospital business in India. So one is an OPEX related business, the other one is a CAPEX related business, and we feel that looking at the environment which is there in India and globally, where everyone is looking for Indian API manufacturers, there is a fair bit that we can do with our history and our capabilities in our API business, but this is going to require significant investments going ahead. We may be able to grow by a certain percentage over a year or maybe a bit more than that, but to grow beyond that and achieve the next scale, there is going to be a significant capex which is required, and we are preparing. We are preparing for that, for organic, inorganic growth in the API business, by creating this particular subsidiary so that it has the possibility to flourish in the environment that we see right now.
Great, sir. And so lastly, wanted to touch upon the significant increase in our receivables as on September ending. Sir, so what is the status of the same now? What is the number at currently as of 31st December or even 31st Jan?
So with regards to 31st December, we had significant receivables because there were a few transactions that we had done in Europe for which payments are delayed. But you'll be pleased to know that almost about 60% of it have already been recovered by as an end of January.
Great, sir. So thank you very much and best of luck.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rushabh Shah from RBSA Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, hi, sir. So we are targeting, you know, significant growth, maybe 900 crore plus. So can you just share some roadmap as to, you know, how much will it come from new products and how much from existing products? And also on the margin side, you are saying that is 25% margins we are targeting. And historically, if you look at MS, well, it has never reached 25%. So is it that the new products will be a 30% plus margin? So please share some thoughts here.
So there are two questions over here. One is with regards to the CAGR growth of 35% that we are planning on consolidated basis, and the other one is the margin. Now, the growth that we are planning is we have a strategy in place. It is twofold. One is most definitely increasing our business in the hospital area, which is there. We've become much more aggressive. We have also added an additional team, which will be fully operational by either end of March or latest, if we take some more time by end of June, conservative speaking. So I think this team plus the teams that we have set up last year, which should also start being productive in the next year, will definitely add to the sales volumes on the top. Besides this, we have a couple of partnerships that we have made on behest of which we feel very confident that our top line will increase. And this is on the finished dosage form side. Thirdly, significant revenue should also increase on the API side. API, as you know, is a high volume, high value business. So with a combination of these three things, that is one, increase in our hospital business, stroke some of the divisions that we had created last year becoming more productive. Secondly, partnership that we have actually formed. And third, with regards to the increase in API business. With all these three things, we feel that the top line should definitely increase in line with our planning. Secondly, with regards to the EBITDA margins which are there, I agree with you that if you see our 9 months right now, we are at about 20%, and we are making a claim that we want to move to 25%. What we are counting on is that we will not need to add so many people as we did last year. So if you see our number of our maximum expense that we have in our company is related to people. We are counting on the fact that we will not have to add too many people now, but the current people that we have increased in the market, in the field, will start giving additional productivity, for which our EBITDA margin should improve by a few basis points.
So you're just saying that the journey from say 20 to 25% will be mainly driven by operating leverage. Malab, so what about the mix of say the new product that you're saying, new API products? So what margins will they be coming along?
So again, I divide it into two aspects, mm-hmm. right? One is the finished dosage form increase, which is there. In finished dosage form increase, if we are looking at a gross margin of even 40%, 50%, or 60%, 70%, whatever may be the case, our fixed expense should not increase significantly. So the same people should be able to promote the respective products, and hence we are expecting an increase in EBITDA levels over there. With regards to APIs, the APIs that we are launching would definitely target a gross contribution of about 50%, and as a result of which we expect this EBITDA levels of the API business also to contribute.
And so in R&D, sir, if you could share, what is the 9-month spending that you've done? And, you know, is it that the customer is asking to do some R&D, or is it completely based on our market study? You know, we are doing the R&D. If you please share what kind of R&D you are doing and what products, what kind of therapies are we targeting, sir?
Our R&D, the exact numbers, I will ask Mr. Tushar Dalal to give at the end of this particular answer. With regards to R&D, absolutely no R&D at our end is given by our customers. We are doing the entire R&D on the basis of what we see as the market potential and what we see as our strategy. So it is not a CDMO activity or a CRO activity that we are doing at any level. In terms of investments in R&D, what is our focus? We have three focuses. One is generic injectables, where we see significant market potentials in ROW markets, including India. The second is new drug delivery systems, where we feel that we can, and again in the injectable space, because as our focus, our vision is hospitals. So in the injectable space, what can we do whereby we can have IP, that is intellectual property, and at the same time significant market which can allow us to enter into the Indian market and other markets where our gross margins can improve significantly from where they are right now. And third area of investment in R&D is obviously on API research, which we are doing already.
And so this whatever investments we're doing in R&D, when can we see a significant fructify in terms of, you know, P&L in the next 1 or 2 years, 3 years, any timelines that you can share?
We are talking about next quarter, as I mentioned in my introduction. Okay. For example, in case of API, we are looking at taking two new molecules every single quarter in exhibit batches, which means 6 months after that we should be saying top line revenues and bottom line revenues from there.
Okay. And so we just share the number for 9 month R&D spend.
Tushar, may I request?
I'm Tushar Dalal. You have spent around 355 lakhs during this first 9 months.
Okay. And so last quarter we spoke that last decade there are significant setbacks, you know, which we're not able to, you know, grow the business. So are those issues completely behind us in terms of litigation or any pending trade receivables?
Sorry, can you please repeat the question?
In the last call that we had mentioned that, you know, over the last decade, where the business is not able to grow because there are some significant setbacks that you mentioned due to a particular customer, etc. So are those issues behind us now in terms of, say, litigation or any pending trade receivables? Has the balance sheet and P&L been cleaned up?
So I think we'll divide the subject into two parts. One is P&L cleanup, and the other part is with regards to any litigations which are ongoing. So the litigations are ongoing. We are still working on the same because we feel that we were right. But those upsides of those litigations, if they come our way, are not included in our business plan. So that is one part of it. And the second part of it, I don't think any of those litigations or any of those issues have any bearings on our P&L currently or in the future. Because if we have any positive outcome from it, it will only give us an upside.
Okay. And so this last question from my side. So how does the management divide team between Gujarat Themis and Themis Medicare? And which business do you think has relatively better business prospects?
So I think we have an excellent team in Gujarat Themis also under the leadership of Mr. Rajiv Chanand, and we have a good team in Themis Medicare also, which has been with the company for a significant number of years, even through some difficult times, and with some very good pedigree. So I think we are well placed in terms of people, I would say not by luck, but by luck and by design. So we are pretty comfortable on that ground. And with regards to which one is a better business, I think both of them are very exciting in its own different way, very different areas that they are focusing, but both of them are extremely exciting.
And so just last request, is it possible so that I cannot share numbers, you know, in terms of breakup between tablet, ointments, ampoules, vials and PFS? We don't share these numbers. Is it possible to share those numbers also, revenue breakup?
No, we would not like to put that particular information out. But I think we can, what we have put out is the information in terms of, you know, what our vision and what our focus is, what is the amount of business that we are doing on hospitals, what is the business that we are doing on API, and how we want our hospital business to grow quarter on quarter.
Okay. And so currently, what is the contribution of top products, say one or two products currently in the current business?
Again, you know, when we are talking about a hospital business, it has a different level of complexity. We are not talking about having one big brand which is there, but, you know, significant number of products that are supplied to the hospital. Because as you can imagine, when you enter into a hospital, they want a lot of products. So the idea is to keep everything ready for them to. Of course, it's not as simple as that. There's a lot of other complexities which are associated with it. But that is, it's a different nuance with regard to the business.
In terms of API, sir, we have mentioned that Simvastatin, Fumagillin and Ketamine. So what's the contribution of these three products? Is it possible to share?
Not the details in terms of how much sales do we have for each of the products. But overall, we can say that traditionally, the largest product for us has been Simvastatin, and it continues to be.
So, but is it more than 20% of our top line or less than that?
I think our overall API business would be about 35% of our overall business.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Anant Shenoy from AS Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, very clear.
Sir, my first question on the investor presentation, we have mentioned API is like a legacy business, and but going by what you are telling now, we have significant plans for scaling up also. So can you just elaborate and you have also mentioned that we are working on alternative strategy for the API business. Can you please elaborate how we are planning to scale this up in the API business?
Yeah, so you're right. I think for probably a decade or even more, we have considered API as a legacy business. But I think not just for us, but for a lot of companies in India, that changed during COVID. Essentially, what happened at that particular time is that globally, everyone wanted China plus one. So a lot of business, which was essentially always a China business, is now the world is looking at it very differently. So there is a tremendous opportunity that we saw last year in terms of how to convert this legacy business into something which is really exciting for the future. So what we started off with last year is to create R&D infrastructure for APIs. And I think that was a good call because now we have a pipeline of products that are going to come out every quarter, as I mentioned. As a result of this, of course, we are going to require capacity. Now, certain capacities we already have, but a lot of it we don't have. Now we have, but at the same time we have options. Since the product is ours, since the R&D is done at our end, we have a possibility of using infrastructure of other companies to produce the same and commercialize the same, because we believe that there is enough margin over here for the product that we have developed to produce it even in other facilities and sell this globally. So that is what we meant by alternative capacity. So of course we keep on increasing our capacity, but our R&D output would perhaps be larger than the capacities that we will be creating. That is also in a way a reason why we have actually decided to put this into a subsidiary company, because there will have to be an alternative strategy in terms of how to find means and ways of commercializing our pipeline at a very rapid pace.
Okay, and the second question is about, you mentioned the simvastatin is 35% of the overall sales or API sales?
API business is 35% of our overall sales.
And simvastatin is, what is the, can you talk about concentration risk with simvastatin?
Sorry, I could not understand the question. If you could repeat it.
In the sense of the API business, how much percentage is simvastatin? Is it a significant portion of the API business?
It is a significant part of the API business.
And in the investor presentation mentioned the capacity utilization, capacity of the API, two facilities of API is around 310 metric ton. So wanted to understand what is the peak sales from that we can achieve with this, with the current API facilities, and after which we need to go for significant expansion.
So I'll put it this way, that obviously, when we are writing capacity in terms of metric tons, to translate it into rupees really depends upon what API you are going to manufacture, right? Because one API could be 1,000 rupees a kilo, another API could be 1 lakh rupees a kilo. So the numbers become quite different depending upon what we decide to produce. But to give a kind of a guesstimate in terms of how far we can go on the basis of the current facilities that we have, I think we should be in a position to achieve anywhere between 250 to 300 rupees turnover from our current API capacities that we have.
Okay. 250 to 300 crore per year of API sales.
That's right.
Okay. And in terms of R&D, in the investor presentation, it's mentioned that, like, if I check the formulations and the API division R&D, the strength in R&D in the API division is much more compared to formulation. So will it remain this way, because in the way you are telling initially that we are like spending more on formulations and investing in the marketing and all that, but from a R&D perspective, will it be more towards API, or how do you see that?
So so both the R&Ds have very different characteristics, right? API and finished dosage form. Now in API, if I want to produce one API, I have to produce six intermediates, which means there are, practically speaking, there are six products that need to be produced. In finished dosage form, when I want to produce one product, I have to produce one product. So that is a big differentiator between API and finished dosage form R&D. And in terms of finished dosage form R&D, the maximum cost comes from the clinical studies and the preclinical studies. So if you see our R&D spend last year, it was close to about 13 crores mm-hmm. in the entire year, because a lot of products came in the clinical trial phase. Now this year, so far it's only 4 crores or 3.5 crores in 9 months. But once the finished dosage form comes to a stage whereby we are ready to do animal studies and preclinical studies and human studies, the costs will skyrocket. So it is a bit difficult to compare API R&D costs and people vis-a-vis finished dosage form R&D costs and people, because it comes at the finished dosage form cost comes in a spurt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in the next 2-3 years, do you expect that our R&D, since we are like more focusing on the formulations and there the we have to spend much more for clinical and animal studies and all that, do you expect this R&D spend from 13 crore to go up significantly in the next 3 years?
Most definitely. In the next year itself, it will go up significantly because some of the products that we are working on right now in the area of new drug delivery systems will come into animal studies in this quarter itself and human studies hopefully in the next financial year. So that should significantly increase the cost.
So like, can you give some ballpark number like from 13 crore next 2-3 years?
In the next financial year, it could almost double up.
Okay. And despite this one, you are guiding that our EBITDA margin will go to 25% in next 3 years.
That is what we are aiming for.
Okay. And coming to this formulation division or the hospital division, there are like market leaders like Neon with full range of products. And whoever I talk to, they are telling that they are sourcing from Neon, the hospital that I know. So, like, what is our strategy here? How do we go with the reduced prices, or how do we compete with someone like Neon or other companies?
I think there are, in every single segment that you look at in the Indian market, there are multiple companies, right? So, if we want to grow in India and if we want to grow in a respective segment, we have to figure out our strategies in terms of how we are going to go and compete with whoever is there.
Mm-hmm. So like, are we going to, like, since we are more focusing on this and increase the sales, are we going with the reduced prices in this segment, or how does the pricing work? Or, like, do hospitals look at the prices while buying from the customer? I think they will be looking at the prices and the basket. So can you just talk about, like, how is the pricing in this segment?
I think customers, in our experience, look at both. They look at the pricing, they look at the quality, they look at multiple aspects of it. So I think, as I said, the hospital business is not only, if I may say so, a pricing business. If it was the case, then you don't need medical representatives. You can simply just quote to all the hospitals, have distributors, and they can supply to them, right? But that is not the case, clearly. So I think there is a fair amount of complexity than just pricing that drives the hospital business.
Okay. And in the formulation business, like, how much percentage do we export?
So last year was quite significant because of COVID. That is where most of our business or the COVID-related business came from. In this particular year, I think it would be less than perhaps 8-9% of the overall revenue, the formulation exports. But that is where we feel that over the next few years there will be a good enough growth for us to be still interested in it.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
The next question is from the line of Kushal Rughani from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Kushal here. So my question was somewhat related to previous participants only. What is the competitive landscape in the hospital business, and which are the key competitors, and how is the strategy of Themis with service to competitors?
I think the hospital business is exciting for a lot of companies. As we have also put it out, with increased number of the Indian population becoming having health insurance, the number of people going to hospitals is going to increase, the number of hospitals are going to increase, and hence it's an interesting space. So that is one. Second, as a result of this, a lot of companies are going to focus on hospitals, and I'm sure each one of them is going to have their set of strategies to enter in. I think from our perspective, we have some kind of a position in the hospital business because of the anesthesia portfolio that we have. And the reason or the way we actually managed to be in this particular position, I believe that we are probably number three or so in the anesthesia area in the country. The way we were able to manage this particular position is, or come to this particular position, is by making sure that we had some products which were first to launch opportunities in India, which we developed in-house. And this is what we will continue to do in the future. We've got some products in our pipeline. One of them expected to come out as early as June, July of this year. And these are the kind of things that will ensure that our penetration into hospital increases. So it is not just by giving low rates, because we feel that is in contradiction to our overall vision in terms of EBITDA margin aspirations. But it has to be with new product launches, and at the same time making sure that we have a complete product portfolio of generics too.
Okay. And which could be the key competitors for Semis? Top 5 or 10 players, if you can help in name them.
I think if I have to talk about anesthesia and pure hospital business play, probably the largest company in India to look at would be Fresenius Kabi. So they are a European company. They have a significant presence in India in hospital business. I think Baxter, B. Brown, Otsuka, and a lot of companies that do high-end anti-infectives also. And of course, there are some specialized ones. So there's a fair number of companies, but there is, if I may say so, a fair amount to do and grow upon also.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashni Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So my first question is regarding an agreement with Cipla for NTDB product, which you had mentioned in your investor presentation. So what are the developments on this agreement? If you could just share some details about it. Thank you.
So we have put an agreement in place with regards to joint tuberculosis product development, where one of the new products which has been recently approved by the WHO is included in the development program, whereby we have the manufacturing capabilities, dedicated areas which it requires, and Cipla have the marketing network and the distribution network. So together, we hope that we should also be able to produce this and commercialize this in India and other parts of the world. So we'll see how it goes. The first product has received product approval with the DCGI in India, but it's too early days to figure out how this business will roll out in the future.
Okay, got it, sir. And sir, one another question. So are we selling any products related to fermentation in Themis Medical?
In terms of APIs, we are. But we are selling semi-synthetic fermentation-based products, which means the intermediate would be fermentation-based. For example, when you are manufacturing simvastatin, you manufacture it from lovastatin. Lovastatin is a fermentation-based intermediate, and simvastatin is a synthetic API which is produced from that. So that is how we are related to the fermentation section.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Shah, a retail investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. As a promoter for both GTBL and TML, how do you divide your attention between the two businesses?
I think this question was already asked by a caller earlier, and I said that, you know, we have excellent teams on both the sides. The organization structure is pretty well set and very well defined in terms of all the responsibilities.
Okay, thank you. Have you submitted any patent application, or do you intend to submit any additional patent applications?
I think when we are working in NDDS, it's a continuous process. So we continuously are developing products and filing patents. I don't think it is only for today or tomorrow. It is a continuous process.
Thank you. And the last question, as a part of the demerger process, Themis Lifestyle Private Limited is obligated to pay Themis Medicare Limited an amount of 125 crores. Is Themis Lifestyle in a position to provide the sum? And if so, what is Themis Medicare Limited's plan for the use of these funds?
I will ask Tushar Bhai to respond upon this, because the details of this are still being worked out.
Thank you.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah. So the consideration for the transfer of these particular two units is around 125 crores. So the TML will have the outstanding in their books of account 125 crores. So that particular company, TLPL, Themis Lifestyle, will have to make payment of, say, 125 crores, and that will be in the form of cash and or the shares certificates. And the Themis will also, being a holding company, will also support to them for this particular activity.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Joseph Matthew, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So, if I talk about return on capital employed, ROC, what do you think, according to you, is the target for the ROC by the end of the year? And what is the projected ROC in the future? So can you outline the plan for achieving these goals?
Tushar Bhai, can you comment on projected ROC for the end of the year?
Tushar Bhai?
I think perhaps Tushar Bhai will take time to come back on this particular question, and it may be a better idea to connect with us offline on this.
Yeah, sure. Other questions as well. So you earlier mentioned in the call that you plan to double your numbers in the next 2-3 upcoming years. So, you know, as per the outlook in the next 3 years in terms of revenue and net income, how do you think this is going to pan out? Like, what are the strategies or what are the processes in your business that you're going to follow or implement to achieve these numbers?
I think I mentioned this again in a previous question that had come up. Our focus is going to be threefold. We see significant increase in the hospital business, so that part is definitely going to be one contributor to it. The second part is we also see increase in the API business. We see revenues increase over there, so that is going to be a second part of it. And thirdly, some of the partnerships that we have formed and we are in the process of forming, be it the one with Cipla on tuberculosis or some of the partnerships that we are currently in the process of working on with regards to some of our new drug delivery systems. So I think it will be a combination of all these three things with which we are planning to achieve these numbers. And of course, we are also looking at inorganic opportunities in the hospital area. If those go through, then that will further contribute to this particular increase that we are planning.
All right. Thank you so much for the information, and I wish you the very best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have the follow-up question from the line of Ashni Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just have one follow-up question on the agreement with Cipla. So you mentioned that the agreement with Cipla is regarding the NTTB API. So Gujarat Chemist also has NTTB product portfolio. And we were also thinking of doing forward integration in Gujarat Chemist. So I just wanted to understand, is there any overlapping of products here?
No, there is no overlapping of products.
Hello?
Yeah, there is no overlapping of products.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, just wanted to confirm our CapEx plans for the next 2 years for FY23 as well as 24.
Tushar bhai, can you please comment on this?
Yeah, so the CapEx is in the range of around 40 to 45 crores of rupees in the current year as well as into the next coming 2 years.
So basically FY23,
24,
25. Yeah. Okay, sir. Sir, and also wanted to understand that, sir, what percentage of our drug portfolio is under NELM and drug price control order?
Under the NELM, very few products are there as far as we are concerned. However, some of the products are there under these, under the NPPS or so. But very few products are there under the NELM.
So broadly, if you could just quantify like 5%, 10%, I mean in percentage terms, what percentage of our portfolio would be under price control?
It will be around say 10% of my total portfolio will be under the NPPA.
Right. And also it was mentioned that your current capacity for APIs, if we operate at full capacity, we can generate around 250 to 300 crore. So out of this, sir, is this this number for external sales after our captive requirement is met, or does this include our captive requirement also?
This would also include our captive requirement, but our captive requirement at this particular stage in terms of value terms is very small.
Sir, so if you could just give us some idea that how much would be the external sales approximately?
Almost 80 to 85% would be external sales.
Okay, sir, that's great. And sir, lastly, just wanted to understand, sir, that with this Amazon entering online pharmacy business and Reliance acquiring NetMeds, sir, so how do you see the competitive situation in the industry changing? Sir, because after all, the hospital business that we are trying to get, sir, these like NetMeds, etc., can also fulfill that kind of requirement since they are anyway a sort of an aggregator. Sir, so don't you think that going forward, the competitive intensity will increase?
The distribution network and mechanisms in India are changing extremely rapidly every single day. So there is disruption that one can expect for, I think, all industries, not just pharma industry, but all industries. And I think that is something that we need to be aware about every single day and keep that into account to make sure that our strategies are aligned with it. So from our angle also, while we are working in the hospital business, we need to make sure that we are aligned with whatever is happening on the distribution side so that we don't have a sudden shock. But I think if you look at it from a positive perspective, there is a lot of advantage to take from that too.
Okay, sir. So considering our 25% margin target, sir, it will become even more challenging since these people have the advantage of huge scale. So, so basically, how do we counteract this? So do we have any plans to go online or set up some kind of a portal through which hospitals can place their order, etc.?
No, we don't. We don't have any such plans. I think there is a very good system that some of the companies have already put into place. By companies, I don't mean pharma companies, but specialized companies in distribution. So it would really be, in my opinion, now a futile attempt to do something like that. I think we are probably late by a decade in terms of doing that.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Dr. Sachin Patel for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I would like to thank the entire team of Themis Medicare for their untiring efforts, hard work and dedication which drives the company forward through various market conditions. Also, thank you everyone for participating in our Q3 and 9-month call. In case of any further queries, you may get in touch with AdFactors, PR, or feel free to get in touch with us. We look forward to interacting with you in the future again. Thanks very much and have a good day.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Themis Medicare Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Hello, I'm Tushar Dalal.
Yes, sir.
Regarding one query was there regarding the ROC. Even though this is a forward-looking statement as far as the March or 2023 is concerned, but I can say that we can expect say around say 25% to 30% ROC for this particular current year.
Thank you so much for that reply, sir.
Yeah.
Have a great day.